Welcome to the Northern Nerd Podcast. We're glad you could join us today. The Northern Nerd is the Northwoods entertainment, media, and creative hub. Each show includes different guests that come from all walks of life with stories to share. Enjoy our latest episode. If you like the Northern Nerd Podcast and other things created by the Northern Nerd, please consider supporting us by going to our online store at www.thenorthernnerd.com/online store. And there you're going to find our hats, our coffee mugs, our t-shirts, and not just stuff with our logos on them, but other things with the Northwoods in mind. If you go there right now and you go to checkout and you type in promo code podcast as you're checking out, you're going to get 10% off your next order. Please consider supporting the Northern Nerd, and thank you for being a nerd. Hey everybody, welcome to the Northern Nerd After Hours podcast. Joined here once again by my buddies Ian and James, and we're just happy to be back together. I think the last time we talked was Labor Day. I know we say this every time, but it's been too long. But
it's always too long.
Yeah, it is.
Hello, y'all.
No saxophone this time.
We'll see. We'll get there.
Okay, we'll get there.
Find a way to drop something in.
Maybe not come in with the sax.
Okay.
We came in hot last
outro.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Outro. Outro sax.
Yeah. Outro sax.
We'll find. Okay. Yeah.
We'll work our way to it.
So,
but we are in the month of October now, and it's starting to be spooky season. Are you guys big
Agreed.
Fans of Halloween?
Spooky season.
Spooky season. That, isn't that what people call
that's
it?
That's going to be the title for this whole year.
I think 2020 is just
spooky. But not fun spooky.
No.
If we all live to, I don't know, like when you like look at the history books, like when you're in high school or in school, and you're like, yeah. That happened? Like when we live to that, it's like, yeah, I was there.
Yeah.
It was wild.
We did podcasts about it.
Yeah. Go back and listen, kids.
No. And be disappointed.
No, October's cool.
Yeah.
It's a good month.
Literally.
I
just can't help myself.
Halloween's going to be lit. Because you can wear masks, you can
have to wear
true. Masks. Yeah, your costume does have to include a mask this year.
I don't think it's yeah.
It's a piece of cake.
Yeah.
I think we'll be good.
Everyone's gonna be Jason.
Yeah.
Or Karen. There's gonna be a lot of zombie Karens. I think that's the trend I've heard.
Yeah. You're on the up and up on the costume.
Can I speak to the manager? Zombie Karen. You gotta have that crazy haircut though.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Which I think
we had a lady apologize for being a Karen here. She took her order, and did we
talked mention? About that at the end.
Did
the
she have to
podcast?
Leave? She have to,
that's how long the podcast has been.
We didn't listen to our last podcast, and it's been a long time. So bear with us if we retell. I'm gonna give you all the same music suggestions later. So
it'll be the exact same.
So
a shot for later. Shot remake.
But yeah. We don't actually think people listen to every podcast. So ignore all this.
I'm quite certain that only a very small group of people have listened to all the podcasts.
I get approached in the street.
But they're like ride or die, though. They can quote some of the podcast. So yeah.
They have shirts.
Yeah.
They do.
Fan club.
We appreciate
our street
the
army.
The few and the proud. Yeah. All right. Yeah. All right. What's something that you guys enjoy the most about, I guess, like October or like Halloween in general? Are you guys big scary movie people?
Yeah, I'm here for it. Bree's way more into him, even though like I kind of put her on him. Like I was like, you don't watch scary movies. I'm like, and then now she's hooked, and I'm kind of like tired of the whole like I've seen them all. So I'm like, she hadn't seen like the Halloweens or the Friday the 13th or all the classics. She's never seen, and I'm like, I don't know if I feel like watching those all the time, but yeah. Scary movies are great. I enjoy this time of year, like the whole, it's just a big, like this year's been different obviously, but it's kind of when the locals can just go deep sigh of relief, like we made it.
Yeah.
We made it through another summer, because now it's mellow and it's nice and you can enjoy the things you want to do without massive crowds, which even being outdoors, like if you want to go golf or bike, like it's cold, but you can still go do it. And there's no people here and you can enjoy it. So
right.
It's a good time of year. Mm-hmm. It's just a little, if we get lucky with the weather, it'll be a lot better, but we won't.
No,
we won't.
All right, Ian, right on. What about you?
Scary movies.
You're not a scary movie guy.
Not really. No, I used to like them more when I was younger, and then I kind of like totally fell off from them. I think I've gotten back into scary movies partially thanks to you, James, with Get Out and like the new era of some of the scary movies that are not like, for me, the thing I hate is like the peak of it is like Paranormal Activity. I don't know. There's something about like the ghost shit in your house that freaks me out. I just like gets in my head. I can't deal with it. But like some of the new psychological thriller, it's like it doesn't rely on just like freaky face jumping out at you.
If you actually can relate it to people, not
right
where the it's like no the actual it's about people and then there's scary weird
right
stuff happening.
Yeah, like Us. I thought Us was gonna freak me out, and then I watched it. And I was like, it was a great movie, but like it was not terrifying.
So you're only with the Jordan Peele scary movies,
apparently,
which are great.
Right, but, which like I'm pumped to see.
I think
like,
I
Annabelle
said we couldn't be friends if you didn't watch Get Out.
Right.
I think that's what happened.
You tell him to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, get out of my life.
But in some of the classics, too, I like those as well. But yeah, some of the newer stuff that just like relies on total shock factor is just not my thing. It gets in my head. It freaks me out. And then I like wake up at night.
I like the campy stuff. Like the real like where you're like, this is bad.
Sure. Like, yeah. Yeah. B-movies. Like B-horror. Yeah. Yeah.
B-horror is like.
Yeah. I'm on board with that.
You can crack jokes.
Blood Hook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously.
Prime example.
But it's like you watch it with your friends and it's like how many funny, like you just crack jokes the whole time. Like, mm-hmm. And right. You have a good time. Like,
yeah.
So the movie makes you happy even though it's terrible.
Right. So. What's one of the most overdone things about scary movies? Like that you see in scary movies, like, oh, that's an every scary movie kind of thing.
I just think the house is, it's basically the house is haunted. It's been done a million times. And it's been done really well, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm here for another The House is Haunted thing. I want something like I like when they innovate and it's completely like I like when it's more like psychological. Like there's a person snaps and it becomes a horror movie that you don't expect. Like it's marketed as like a normal movie.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden it becomes a horror movie because it's
something
more about people.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's just like, the house is haunted.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
We better not go in there. Oh, I guess we're going in there.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, probably shouldn't check out that room.
So
I think we're going to check out that room.
With The Conjuring and the Paranormal Activity, those don't appeal to me as much as like the Get Outs and the where it's more about, you can kind of be like, that could happen in a weird universe, which.
Right.
We're living in a weird
like The Shining is a good example. It's like both of those things. It's got a haunted building, but then it's also somebody snaps
so too. You need to mix and match. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It can't just be all craziness.
And I'll echo James's sentiment too about like this being sort of like September, October being kind of the time to, if you live in this area, vacation area.
Our time to shine.
Right. It's our time.
Yeah.
We have to go Bee Gees with everything.
Yeah.
Right? That's just our go-to fallback thing. You just got to become Barry Gibb.
I got super excited. I was like, oh, you nailed it. I can't wait to hear this back and be like, he did not nail it.
No.
But it sounded good live.
In the moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the weather is super unpredictable. Last week, Tuesday was 80 degrees, and it felt like nicer than some summer days and the leaves were changing, and then today it barely got to 40 degrees. And normally like we wouldn't even be doing this podcast under normal circumstances because this is a Friday night before Cranberry Fest, and normally our biggest day of the year down here, it's nutso and things are crazy and there's not really anything going on. And
I think
that's it's weird.
I got the title for this podcast.
Oh shit.
The Ghosts of Cranberry Fest Past.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Fits into the Halloween.
Yeah.
A little long though. A little wordy.
I mean, we can fit it in.
You can like what's
are there
the
rules
acronym?
Here?
There are no rules.
There are no rules here.
No.
We can be Ghosts of Cranberry Fest Pass.
We can do whatever we want.
Do something. Yeah.
I was hoping it was like get the out of here.
GTFO.
Yeah, I was like, does that line up? Be like, what's that mean? It's like, no, it's actually about Cranberry Fest.
We could just make it that instead of then just change the act.
What about you, Dalton?
I'm like the biggest baby when it comes to scary movies.
You like
I like to
Hocus
laugh.
Pocus?
That's as scary as it gets.
What
for
about Casper?
Casper, yeah, I watched that, but like I had a scarring experience with Texas Chainsaw Massacre when I was like 10.
Who didn't?
But I thought like I could terrifying. Watch it. I was like, I'm gonna watch this with my stepbrother. I'm gonna like, yeah, we'll have a bonding experience over this. Like,
it's always the stepbrother.
Halfway through the movie, I was like watching it.
You're out of your depth.
Blanket, and then I couldn't sleep for like 2 days. And my dad, I told him this, and one night, like laughing about it now, but in the moment I was terrified. He goes outside my window with a chainsaw and fires it out.
Oh,
that's cold. Like,
that's cold.
Man, I was like, yeah, I didn't sleep for a while after that. But
you're a cold man, Gary.
I would say
he's always good for a joke, though.
We're a couple years older than you, but we grew up on Scream. Like Scream was kind of like our.
And I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, and those. They were scary, but they were also kind of like teen.
Right.
Like it was approachable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It wasn't like, it's terrifying. No. It was more kind of just.
There was like a few jump moments in there, but nothing that was like really frightening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Texas Chainsaw Massacre was
that's
like.
That's hardcore.
It's a pretty.
That's yeah. Like, if you're going to jump in.
And it's gritty.
And that was
too.
Like
that's
the first
the thing,
one.
Is it's like, it's very like.
To this day, I'm
and
not.
And something that could happen.
To I this mean, like, day, it, I'm not here for. Like,
that happened.
Like, I'm like, I don't know if I'm in the right mindset to watch it.
I know there's some that are like terrifying because you're like, this is too real. Like, you know.
Well, I watched not the new It, like Stephen King mm-hmm. It movies. I watched the original. It was like a TV series that became a movie. It was like 4 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
I watched that when I was like 10.
Oh, jeez.
And to this day, I'm just like, that was the most terrifying thing I ever watched in my life.
Yeah.
It was awful.
Well, and the thing that gets me, or that I guess used to get me, was like, based on a true story, I was like, oh, wow.
Right.
This is something that truly happened.
This happened somewhere. And it could be outside right now.
Yeah. But oftentimes it's just like one small event, and then they just took it and ran with it kind of thing. Maybe somebody was telling the story at the bar, and it's like, oh, yes, this actually happened. And
right.
Kind of go off from there. But yeah, I try to stay away from scary movies. Like, I'd much rather watch a comedy.
The Ring was another one that really fucked with my head.
Yes.
That might. I think I got an edit moment.
No, but like anytime you have static like on your TV, it's like no, this is bad.
And there's something for me about like the dead face thing. I don't know, you know, it's like the white face with like the dead eyes, kind of like.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming through the TV screen. I remember watching it with a friend and kind of the same thing, putting myself outside of the comfort zone. And we're gonna watch it. Okay, it's cool. Got through it, and like it was no joke.
I just spilled my beer live. Sorry to interrupt you.
Fantastic.
Live podcasting.
We finished watching The Ring at my friend's house, and it was no joke, phone rang at
the end
of the movie. Within 10 minutes of the movie being over. And it was, you know, this was when, do you remember landlines?
Folks, do you remember landlines?
You remember that there used to be a phone cord that ran underground to your house, and then you'd plug a phone into it, and this phone would only work if it was plugged into the wall. Landlines, folks.
Yeah.
Better know your history.
Yeah.
That's
what we're here for.
But, I mean, the phone rang, and instantly your just mind goes to like, oh shit, what have we done?
We're done here. Like, this is it.
Yeah.
This ball
Seven
game.
7 days from now, we are all gonna be dead.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a freaky one.
Landlines.
Landlines.
Oh. Yes.
Remember when you couldn't be on the internet?
Oh yeah.
And
dial up internet.
Talk on the phone at the same time.
We should all try and do our best impression of making the sound.
Remember when?
Of dial up internet.
You get boosted off MSN Messenger because your parents is like, hey.
I got an important phone call to make.
Right.
I don't know.
That was a terrible impression of my mom.
Dial up.
Sounded just like her.
Dial up would be good.
She's from Boston.
Dial up would be a good experiment for the kids nowadays because
they would be so confused.
They could not handle it.
No.
I feel like today's kids are going to be so, like, I might be wrong here, but they might be so sick of the internet because they've had to do all their schoolwork on it and stuff like that.
And you can't escape it.
No.
Like if you have a smartphone.
They don't know life before it.
It's with you always. Whereas it used to be like to get to the internet, was an effort. Mm-hmm. Like it meant you had to sit down, you had to click the button, you had to get there.
Do you remember?
Maybe it would work. Maybe.
Do you remember printing the maps on MapQuest?
Yes.
Oh yeah, for my dad. I can remember specifically taking one of my first trips when I was like 16 years old to go visit a friend.
It was hardcore.
And yeah, printed out the MapQuest directions and had them with me on my car seat as I listened to my CD mix, which I'm sure I still have.
CD mixes are still fire.
I just made one last weekend.
The songs that were on it are probably not still fire, but a lot of angsty early 2000s.
The world does not know
emo.
Me. Yeah.
That's where, if you're 16, you're angsty.
Yeah.
It's just the music just evolves. It's all angsty. Mm-hmm. So.
You're still angsty even in your 30s. I can.
Yeah.
You learn how to control it better instead of just being like, everything sucks and you're just whining to everyone. You learn to suppress that and then you vent it in different ways.
You're like,
the angst doesn't really go away.
No, it's
everything
there forever.
Sucks. Right.
I got to pay taxes and go to work.
Yeah, that's
today.
What growing mm-hmm. up and being an adult means is everything still sucks. Just deal with it.
Yeah.
Don't tell me about it.
You're allowed to not deal with it. And just be
right.
a complete, just bitter person when you're younger.
Right.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's like, grow up.
Just My Chemical Romance just cranked up.
Yep. Jam into the Black Parade.
It's mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
It's Black good stuff. Parade. Another podcast title name.
Let's talk about what you're listening to.
I was gonna say
that's a smooth transition.
Spin something here?
We don't have. Listen to some. Let's fire it up here.
I was getting ready to listen,
but
I was like,
I had a problem today. It was actually right as I got in my car here.
You have a lot of problems today.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know.
I actually don't have too many. But there's this one big problem as I was getting.
James about to fight you.
You want to fight me over problems?
You're about to have another problem.
Yeah. Oh, parking lot. Here we go.
Our first podcast fist fight.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
We'll get there tonight.
Okay. So
stay tuned for season two.
We'll be right back. We're going to have a whole bunch of beers.
Yeah. So anyways, I got out of my car and striking up a conversation with Ian. And all of a sudden, Rain King started playing on my phone, Counting Crows. And none of my apps were open. It didn't show that I was playing in Spotify, but I couldn't shut it off.
I think Adam Duritz haunted his phone for a moment.
That's the scariest horror movie I've ever heard of, actually.
That's
let's make it. Let's go.
You can build a whole movie around it. Get M. Night Shyamalan down here.
Based on a true story.
Well, the whole concept is no one else can hear the song, but you can. So you walk into Starbucks, that's the song playing. You're like, what are the odds? And then you go, like, you hop in your car, you turn on the radio, Rain King, and you're going crazy.
And it's such an upbeat song, too, that, like, it would
be ironic.
But it's the only thing you can hear.
I am not the Rain King any longer.
Right, it's like a total montage song.
It's the only thing you can hear.
Right.
Ooh. And no one else hears it. So you're going mental. And you're like, I got to kill Adam Derwitz or whatever his name is. That's the only solution. It's a great movie. Right.
Jordan Peele directing this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Well, we might have to start with the lower budget director.
Okay.
So like
Ian. Me?
Or Ian directs
it. I'll direct it.
Yeah.
I just need one of those chairs, a cloth back, you know, wooden folding chair.
Yeah. And just yell at us.
Right. Cone, one of the big like an old school megaphone,
like a 1920s director.
Yeah.
Run. Golden era of Hollywood.
Do we go tongue in cheek and call it Rain King?
I think you could.
Right. I think that's the only thing that makes sense.
That's the only thing you can hear throughout the movie. So.
All right.
It just is that song looped over and over and over again.
It's a social experiment. See how long people can sit in the theater. They're like,
All right,
is this ever going to end?
So here's the part where
I am the Rain King.
We make Dalton Ernest paycheck and insert Rain King right here.
Deserve.
You just heard Rain King. How do you feel about
back.
It?
Love it.
Welcome back to the podcast. NPR.
If he doesn't insert it, we'll roll with it either way. It's going to be a weird bus.
We'll see. Okay. So what are you guys listening to lately besides Rain King?
Only that. Now.
Only Rain King. That's all we can listen to. That's all you can listen to. We just cursed this podcast. So.
We were just talking about this before, Rex Orange County, which I thought he came up before on the podcast, but
I know Rex Orange County, not like know them, but I would have,
we hung out last weekend.
He's the dude. He just released recently. It's a live at Radio City Music Hall in New York. And the reason, like, I was already a fan, but just hearing a live album, considering like the times we're in, like hearing people scream the lyrics and like mm-hmm. the beats of it reminds me of like actually seeing live music. Like it puts you in that like mode where you're like what you miss, like mm-hmm. the whole experience. So actually like the live albums kind of hit a little different now. Like,
right. Because it reminds me of a different time.
It's almost nostalgic, even though it's not like an old, I don't know. He probably recorded this last year. Like,
right.
It's current stuff, but I don't know. It just kind of hit me, like gave me like goosebumps. I was like, oh, there's people singing and it's,
mm-hmm.
but yeah, he's super talented. Just great, upbeat, good songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
Like definitely worth checking out. Other than that, I would say I've been listening to this. Spotify had this, The House That... Whoops. I'm playing it right now.
Got a little taste of that in the background here.
Live podcasting.
just literally play.
Just hold the mic up.
Spotify has a curated playlist called The House That Bradley Built.
Oh, yeah.
Which is Bradley...
Cooper?
No.
Right.
No, Bradley from Sublime.
It's literally a house that Bradley Cooper built for Habitat for Humanity.
It's all Lady Gaga songs.
Come off the deep.
Yeah, someone had to do it. Yeah. I was going to sing it, but you have a better voice.
James is like, shut the hell up, you idiots.
No, and it's...
Let me talk.
It's all these artists that were inspired by Sublime, and it's covers and
this literally comes right on the heels of our other podcast, because you sent me this this playlist the night we finished our last podcast.
Yeah,
so after our last podcast, I've listened to it several times. It's great. Good.
There also is this sounds stupid, but it's another Spotify curated playlist called Beach Vibes. I would just recommend that, especially while it's getting cold, because I think you need that warm you know, these 30 degree mornings, like, I think you need that little boost. Like,
yeah,
I think the folk, like, you think folk music, like the indie folk, would be like your mm-hmm. October, and it is.
Yeah.
But I kind of like, no, like, I'm not accepting that it's like dead of winter.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Cause you're already just like, yep, we're here for the long haul.
I give up.
Yeah.
But right now, I'm like, let's hang on to summer and let's keep the vibes mm-hmm. popping. So. That's what I got.
Yeah. What about you, Ian?
I've been, I'm like just all over the board lately. you know, some new stuff. The Shins have a new single out, which okay. is cool and refreshing to hear some of their new music. I've been a big fan of the Shins for a while and saw them at Madison Square Garden when I was in college.
Flex on them.
I'll flex. Flex James on him. Mercer. And saw Broken Bells. I guess I've seen him twice in two different bands.
Flex on him.
Flex. I'll happily flex. Nerdy white guy flex on well, my Shins love.
The Madison Square Garden's a flex.
It was cool. That was a neat experience. I'm happy we did that.
Not many people get to do that.
So. And James Mercer had like a busted up face from a ill-timed stage dive. Like right at that time too. So yeah, new single from them, which is cool. But then probably, I don't know, one of the things like a classic that I sort of can't get enough of, and it's fun to listen to it in like different perspectives. My folks were visiting last week, hadn't seen them in a year, and they, you know, my dad and well, my parents both came, you know, grew up during the music of the like mid to late 60s. And so like that's always been super impactful for me. And so they've been super excited about the documentary Echo in the Canyon, which on Netflix about, sort of all about like the music of the mid 1960s in Laurel Canyon, just outside of Los Angeles. And, you know, the Mamas and the Papas, okay. the Birds, the Beach Boys. And it's a great documentary. It's a lot of fun to watch just if you're interested in the music of that time, but it, you know, kind of rekindled, some of that love and interest for the Beach Boys and particularly Pet Sounds. So this is sort of a shout out for anyone in the maybe younger generation who maybe only thinks of Beach Boys as like surf rock type stuff. Pet Sounds is, you know, it's like one of those albums that's like hyped beyond belief to people, I guess, who are older. I don't think maybe a lot of younger people get that same hype of like Pet Sounds being one of the best albums of all time. But it's just so... there's so much there, especially listening to it in the kind of current context and during this time of year too, where it's like sunny, a lot of it's kind of sun-drenched California, you know, somewhat psychedelic rock sounds.
Okay.
Just super cool. So I was re-listening to that again with just a little bit of a new lens of talking about like the genius behind it and stuff. And so, yeah, that one is...
I think Rolling Stone has Pet Sounds... They do the top 500 greatest albums of all time, and they update it every year. So
okay.
there's new entries, or if they, I think Pet Sounds is in the top five, I want to say.
I believe it. It's one of those beloved
it's
albums.
It's easy to listen to it now if you have no context and be like, this is corny.
Right.
Now.
Right, right,
but
yeah.
If you have any, like, if you actually, like, do your history and, like, kind of just dig into it, it's... yeah, like they changed music. Like it's one of those albums that, mm-hmm. especially how old, like,
yeah,
it's way back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And my dad kind of referenced that too, of like, you know, when he was young, he went to college for a bit, didn't quite pan out how he wanted, went to Vietnam, fought for a year and came back 1968. Like I think about that all the time, like yeah. what was happening in the country at that time and all the music. So like he said, he came back and the big albums for him at that time were Sgt. Pepper and
yeah.
Pet Sounds. Like, what, I mean, those were kind of, they fed off each other.
And then was the Woodstock 69?
69, yeah.
And he got back. Yeah. So that was like that. The whole Hendrix, Joan Jett, like everything was happening, but
right.
Pet Sounds was there a little before that to kind of...
Right, and that built off of a lot of their other stuff that was really corny, like the kind of classic yeah. packaged pop surf sound, you know, stuff. Yeah. But so, yeah, anyway, that was just cool. And so I've been enjoying that. And a lot of the contemporary stuff of that time too, like digging into some of the deeper cuts from the Birds and the Mamas and the Papas and... mm-hmm. You know, just some of that stuff that like is interesting to listen to. So that's cool.
We missed a prime opportunity because your dad was just here to have him on the podcast. Be like,
oh, my dad would have said some crazy shit.
We're like, what was Nam like? Yeah, because no, I'm just kidding. That's not our podcast. But no, he could. But I feel like he'd be a good guest.
Yeah, we should have a. I think Bo Peterson's going to be our next guest on the show. It's been a little bit since we've had a
He was a Nam, so
he was not.
You never know. Bo might have been to Vietnam at some point.
He's lived three
lives.
He's
not fought in the war.
Right, no.
The reincarnation of Bo was in Nam.
All right.
Getting into some weird stuff here.
We are.
What about you, Dom?
Not even that many beers deep.
What are you listening to?
All right, so this is going to be like pretty mainstream, I guess, but Machine Gun Kelly's new album that's come out that sounds like a Blink-182, like Good Charlotte album.
I'm here for it.
It's called Tickets to My Downfall. And it's got from what I've heard from people, like everybody likes it and likes the sound and stuff like that. And I enjoy listening to it. Just because that's the kind of music I like to listen to, is like that early 2000s punk rock kind of stuff. But I like that. And then Tyler Childers came out with a new album called Long Violent History. And it's pretty much like just a bunch of jam band sessions. So kind of music like you'd hear at like Fall Fest, or just like you're not sure what you're listening to, but you could like split wood to it real easily. So I just threw it on. 2 weekends ago when I was splitting wood with a buddy, I was like, we feel like we're at the Lumberjack World Championships right now. And it's just really folky and stuff like that. And I think there's one song that Tyler actually sings on, but the rest of them are just all instrumental.
Hmm. Does he make you wait like till like nine songs in the album?
It's actually the last track of the album.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah.
It's like, and here is my voice. This is what it sounds like.
For 30 seconds.
That's
there
what it
you
sounds
go.
Like. No. Yeah. Tyler's awesome.
Yeah.
The wood splitting thing makes sense, especially it's like a seasonal thing.
Mm-hmm.
I assume me and you, like all of us being fans, like we kind of wanted like the sequel to his last album.
Right.
But I like that he kind of just like, no, this is what I'm doing. So
he just kind of dropped it. Like I didn't really, I guess.
Yeah.
I didn't really see much like it's coming out with a new album kind of thing. It was just like, oh, that's on Spotify. I guess I'll check that out kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I've enjoyed it, but.
Oh, and I forgot to say, Felt, which is a collabo between Slug from Atmosphere and Murs. He's like an LA rapper.
We were just getting felt up in here.
Felt up. It's called right Felt for You. It's produced by Ant, who is Atmosphere is Slug and Ant. So it's basically Atmosphere with Murs, but it's like a side project they do every, like, I don't know, like 3-4 years. If you like Atmosphere, this is awesome. It's just got a good groove to it. It's kind of like Run the Jewels, but like Midwest, like very talking about being dads. And but it's like
Midwest
approachable.
Rap.
It's
for
Midwest
dads.
Rap. It's
I was saying that's like one of my favorite things is how Slug can
like life.
He can like drop a line that if anyone else said it, you'd be like, that is just the nerdiest like white guy thing to say. But
the way he does it.
Yeah, he's got a way of making it come across.
Yeah,
fresh.
It's. He does everything, like everything he does is spectacular, but check that out. It's front to back. It's just solid. So
sounds good. It's good. So your one recommendation for your playlist was Beach Vibes. And from what I recall, you were playing that while we were at the Beer Open on Sunday. Do you want to talk about the Beer Open at all and what that experience was like? I know Ian's done it before this year. You had family in town, so you couldn't make it.
I'm a little sad. This is my first year living in Hayward, not participating in it. So I have some experience to build on, but I was not there for this year. You guys take it away.
So we all can contribute. We basically, you're just like a hostage in the situation.
I was. I don't know. I had two beers just to like be like, all right, yep, I'm okay.
I feel like you're like
I'm cool. I'm not a cop.
Yeah. I feel like you're like
I'm not a narc. Okay, guys.
You're like a war correspondent or something like that. Like,
yeah,
it's basically
I just kind of blend in and just like
it's all right, basically our,
don't shoot.
Yeah,
it's like our immediate friend group. Like, the whole goal is it's all about drinking beer. We all golf. We all try to get. Some of us are like some in the group are really good. Some are terrible. Mostly are terrible. but yeah, we go to Spider Lake Golf Course and we try to buy them out of beer.
Right, because it's usually the last weekend they're open.
They're running. It's like and we play. Typically, it's like 10 to 12. In the group, but we don't split up in fours. We play 10 to 12 people a hole. And it's just chaos. It takes us 4 hours to golf 9 holes.
Right.
And the gist
without the alcohol.
The gist is everyone brings a prize, so everyone goes home with a prize. It's not for money, it's for fun. But we do keep track of the score. People do want to win it. And for every beer you finish, it's a stroke off your score, and you mark your beers and then you shoot your round. So at the end but it does create kind of chaos at the end. It's basically it's a booze fest. Like, there's no rhyme or reason to how we created it or what we're doing, but it's a lot of fun. Golf is kind of it's not really about golf, but at the end it becomes about golf because someone wants to win it.
Right.
And that's where the problem becomes. That's where it's fun, because yeah, people are trying to add their scores and they can't walk.
That last hole, I kid you not, took over an hour.
It seems
Ian,
about right.
And Ian, I think, you were in the hunt 1 year.
I've been in the hunt 1 year for sure, maybe another. And but it's a tough balance, because like, I grew up playing golf, so like, I know the game well enough, but I also have not played much over the last several years. And we've got some guys like Mahoney and Jay. Like, those guys are legitimate, really good golfers.
And they're really
good
drinkers.
And they drink a ton.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they play a lot and drink a lot and stuff.
And
so,
the example this year is Shriff is just a
cool
monster, a monster of a beer drinker. And his golf game has gotten better, and he can hang in there, and then he can out-drink everybody. So he was the champion. The funny thing is, we invited Dalton, just like, come golf, come hang out, it's a good time. And he's like, no, I just want to get some shots. I want to like play with my camera. And like, basically we have a documentary essentially of the beer open.
Yeah.
And he did a beautiful job. You can go on the Northern Nerd Instagram and watch the video. I recommend you try with your golf friends. If anyone listening to this golfs, it's just incorporate it. It's the best way to
make sure to choose the right course.
Right. Somebody that's going
to
be cool
with
it too.
Yeah. Shout out. Ask for permission. Don't go to a course where there's stacked tee times and kind of those clubhouse warriors that are going to call you in to the police the second year.
Right. It's an abomination.
It's kind of a, it's not, yeah, like I said, it's not really about golf.
It's a perfect little course too.
Yeah,
again,
just a
big shout out to
Spider
Lake Golf Course, because it's a fun, like, having grown up playing all sorts of different courses, it's kind of the perfect course because it's super friendly to those who are not big time, you know, aficionados. But if you're good at the game, it's still interesting to play.
I don't know, but
it's I don't know about all that.
No, it is. It's just chaos.
What you said.
I was scared for Dalton because he's not built for it.
Dude,
you're built to hang out, but you're not built to participate.
Oh, heck no, dude. If I had like three beers and I was trying to like swing a golf club, you guys,
but
your
also
life
like,
would be in danger.
Like you said,
I'm such a lightweight.
The ninth hole is where everyone tallies their scores to try to figure out who's actually in the hunt for this thing. But you're allowed to chug beers and take shots to get your score down until you tee off.
It's just a mad rush.
The ninth hole is just, it's like gluttony.
I have memories and non-memories of the ninth hole. Like, I have memories of being like, oh, this is crazy. And then other times of being like, I know I finished the ninth hole, but I don't know how it happened.
Because you go into the ninth, you're like, that was fun. And then you leave, after the ninth, you're like, did I even golf today? You don't remember.
I feel like I golfed 18.
Right. The ninth hole takes an hour.
Yeah.
Legit. So.
Yeah, it's something.
Try
it's a
it
spectacle.
Out. Next year, you guys are all invited. Everyone's invited.
But not really.
We're trying to get sponsorship, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're interested in sponsoring the beer open, hit us up in the email.
Yeah, DM us.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Can't wait to see the sponsors come rolling.
Dude, we are going to get so many. All the beer companies just be flooded.
Titleist.
Yeah.
Signs on for the $500,000
we'll get
sponsorship.
Blatz. We got Blatz and Hams. And
yeah, we'll be all set to go, man.
What are those? What is that new Instagram? Nitro golf balls like that are illegal?
Mm-hmm.
We're all
here. Are you calling out James here for using the Nitro golf ball?
At all.
That's where the fight's going to take place. He's just going to come here next episode. Just
no one wants that. I actually invited him to be a guest because we were drinking beers before this.
Mm-hmm.
But where James is just a man of few words until he gets to talking.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he could do it.
He was part of our studio audience.
So this is a weird transition, but I just thought about this. He just came by the house. We were playing Yahtzee. And I was going to say, we're heading into winter comatose.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave the house. This sucks. How you guys feel about board games? What's your go-to? What's the most frustrating? Where are you at? Because Yahtzee's been like the jam lately for me, but...
I feel like people that select Monopoly are the people that select Rainbow Road right away in Mario Kart.
They
like,
want to go straight for the
jugular, man. Monopoly's like not that. Up there on my list. Hopefully it's not on your guys'.
I've had fun playing it, but
friendships are over because of that game.
Uno is the one game where
Ashley and I nearly broke up
because of Monopoly.
Yeah, new story.
Yeah. We played it one time and we still own the game. I don't know why.
You didn't burn it in like a seance?
No, we should go home and I'll burn it tonight. Never played it again.
Monopoly gets rough.
Ugh, for sure. It's stabby.
Stabby.
That's what it says.
Yeah. On the
caution, may get stabby.
Maybe you may get stabbed.
Stabby.
Shank alert.
Yep.
All the little
it'll give you like a rating for shanks
right,
that you might receive.
How many
all the little metal pieces should be weapons.
Right.
Yeah. Like
handgun. So with having parents in town, we just, and what are you going to do? Nothing. We didn't go out anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So every night after dinner, we'd hang out. So we played Yahtzee a couple of nights. My dad and I played a ton of cribbage.
Cribbage is great.
I love cribbage. And, you know, then we also played Sorry. If you remember that one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
My mom was like so sad about the game because... Sorry's kind of a savage game too. Like you just got like, oh, you almost got everyone home. Nope, boom, knock them off the board. So she's like, this is mean. This is a bad game. Oh, of course she won. And she's, this is a bad game. We shouldn't be playing this. And then we played Farkle.
Oh yeah,
which is Farkle's similar to
really
Yahtzee
fun.
A little bit. You know, dice game. Shout out to Mealborn. You ever play Mealborn?
It sounds made up.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good one. It's a crazy French card game. It's like, I don't know. I grew up playing it with my parents and stuff. You can find it around, but it's like you have to like have different ways of like moving your kind of your car along the game. You have to like have a you know, a go signal or whatever, but somebody could give you like a flat tire or put you in an accident or something, and then you have to play another card that fixes that, and then you add on your miles to get to
the,
it's a weird game. It's French, man.
Yeah,
you have to smoke cigarettes.
Yeah, of course. I was gonna
and
say,
listen to Edith Piaf.
Where's the wine
time.
At
right? Yeah.
The baguette,
right.
Like we did not game pieces not included, box of wine.
I think the like you said, Monopoly and Uno are the two games where it ruins friendships, relationships.
What about like Cards Against Humanity? You guys have all played that?
Yeah.
I like that one.
That's a good, that's a holiday game.
You need the right crowd.
Yeah, you definitely can't play with like, I guess, somebody that you just met. It might be tough.
Well,
I mean, you could. Find out real quick if you're going to be friends.
Well, you find out. I've done the whole, Thanksgiving, grandma's in town.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to jump in, and you find out her sense of humor.
Yeah.
That you're like, okay, grandma.
I didn't know you had that. Yeah.
Like, you're like, I didn't want to know that about you, but.
I'm here for it.
I know, like, because they play the card that you're like, damn, grandma, that's filthy.
Yeah.
You're like
the Daniel Radcliffe card.
You kind of respect. Right. You're like, I respect you. Like,
yeah,
that was the right card to play.
Yeah.
So that I think you figure out.
We played What Do You Meme at
yeah.
your place
yeah,
before.
That's
a good one. Again, the crowd dictates significantly how you're going to play that game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a new one called, by the creators of What Do You Meme. It's called New Phone Who Dis. And
I saw that.
You like have, I have it. We should play it sometime. But it's like you have this like initial text, and then everybody else has like the reply text.
Oh, nice.
So okay. It kind of goes the same as What Do You Meme or Cards Against Humanity.
It's same concept.
Yeah.
How do you respond to what you're
certain text?
And
yeah.
Trying to be funny.
But it's really good.
Just a different take on it. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, that was board games.
Yeah, board games. I like it. What you playing? Doo-doo.
That might have to just be a new segment.
Yeah, what you playing?
Board games?
Board games.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. I just...
We're getting racy. No,
I
here.
Like it. Yeah. All right, what have you guys been... What have you guys been watching lately?
What you watching?
I could start it off if you want me to.
It sounds like you're chomping at the bit, so
you
why
better,
don't
you? Man. You all better.
Right. Well, I've been watching... Down to Earth, the Zac Efron thing on.
They're gonna say
Netflix.
Downtown Abbey.
Downtown Abbey. No, isn't Downton Abbey?
No, Downtown Abbey. It's a new show about a stripper.
Downtown Abbey.
Yeah. HBO presents.
Right. It's real. Downton? It's dark. It's dark.
Yeah.
Downtown Abbey.
Ride Sally Ride.
She's a murdering stripper.
Oh my gosh.
But she's got a heart of gold. All right, continue.
Literally, her heart
made of gold. She's actually a superhero. It's a lot of genres. I don't know how they.
It's just they just cross reference so much. Yeah. No, it's pretty good. Once you get past, I don't know how to like recover from that. once you get past like Zac Efron being just like a kind of like a bro kind of thing.
And I've been curious
really
to watch
into,
it. So
there's a lot of educational stuff, like stuff you wouldn't know about other countries. Like, wow, I didn't know they did that. Or, wow, that's really cool. I wonder if we could do that here in America. And just even some of like the dishes and certain things like that they get to try. And it's pretty good. I think there's like 8 or 9 episodes, and they go to all different countries and talk about different aspects. So like heating or how they do things with water or what their take on waste is, or even just like stuff like green spaces or honeybees and things like that. So it's pretty cool. I recommend checking that out. And then on a different note, I've been starting to watch Workaholics.
Had you never seen it before?
I really hadn't. Like, I watched it a couple times in one of my buddy's dorm rooms in college. Like, he'd have it on and I just watched a few episodes, but never like really started at the beginning of it and watched it through. And that's just been kind of like, again, kind of some of that comfort TV. Like, I'll have it with dinner, like watch an episode or two with dinner and just kind of get some laughs in at the end of the day. But
right,
that's about it.
That's one. Yeah. I've seen a few and it's people I like in it, but
yeah.
I haven't committed to it. So
yeah,
maybe I'll check it out.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. There's definitely some stuff where you're like, what the heck am I watching? But also at the same time, it's
kind of
it's really funny.
It's kind of what they're going for, though.
Yeah.
It's just bizarre.
Mm-hmm. What about you guys?
I mean, sports are in full swing, so it's easy to say a lot of sports. Sports.
I watched a football match.
I watched
the
match. Yeah.
Dude, it's so nice, though, to have some of these sports.
It's crazy that the NBA finals are same time as football. Regular season, because that's
and the Stanley Cup finals
and the Stanley Cup and the base, it's all 4 major sports.
Right. Yeah,
just have like all of the major championships
and I think the Masters
you must decide.
I think the Masters are coming in a couple weeks.
That sounds about right. Don't follow golf too
everything's
much, but
basically like
hot. They should have the NBA finals, Stanley Cup finals, the World Series, the Masters,
no
and
sense.
The Super Bowl all on the same day at the same time.
It's like, choose your battle.
Right.
It's like, fight.
America, which one will you decide? We're going to cut one of these out every
terrible,
year.
Right? It's a terrible idea.
Like the Hunger Games of sports. We're just going to kill
District
off one whole.
Whoever gets the worst rating is no longer a sport.
Right? Yep.
Sorry, golf.
Yeah, we know
sorry,
that
hockey.
Right away. Yeah,
I was gonna say I don't know that it would be golf. I think that golf might have better ratings than.
So this
like,
is more
hockey,
something that I'm about to watch. Mm-hmm. Other than sports, like blah blah.
Yeah.
The Boys on Amazon.
Have you started watching season 2?
I have not, but I am very excited. The first season was amazing. It's kind of a satire of the Marvel universe.
Okay.
Where,
a dark satire.
Yes, a very dark, violent satire. Where, but it's also like how we're obsessed with. It makes fun of like how we're obsessed with celebrities, where basically superheroes, if they actually lived in the real world, would be popper. They'd be celebrities. People would follow them around, obsess. And it doesn't mean they're good people.
Right.
And the whole take is like, you're not chosen to be a superhero. You're born. So mm-hmm. these people are flawed. They're like terrible people.
They're
and also they're really famous. So it kind of plays on that aspect of like how we're obsessed with celebrities and superheroes as a culture. And it just brings you in the mud about it. Like, it's just ugly. Like, so okay. they're not good people. They're,
it is a gritty show. So I've watched the first, I don't know, like three
the first
episodes.
Season's wonderful. I haven't seen the second season, so I'm just basically banking on that. That's out now. It
follows the same trajectory. I've watched like the first three episodes or so, and
you would agree it's a must watch. It's a really cool.
It's
show.
Hard to not. I find myself conflicted about it. So I have my late night shows that, like, you know, Ashley's gone to bed. We don't share quite the same. Like, we overlap on a lot of stuff, but like anything that's more like at violence and stuff, she's just not into that, and that's fine. But like it's a show that I found myself conflicted about because, like, I'm like, do I want to get into this tonight? Like, it's not like gritty. It's not like a gritty drama type thing.
It's just violent and
it's just
kind
of gory, and it sort of it kind of shocks you bits.
Yeah.
Like, there's things that you're just like, whoa, like it startles you. But I think it's what you're playing off of like, the seedy underbelly of celebrity is more of the
it's
thing.
Kind of
it's not so much about the superpowers of like a Marvel universe where it's like, what amazing thing can they do? It's more about how they're terrible.
It's like
people
if Marvel
not.
Movies were not like the hero wins in the end. Like, you know, it's like, no, this is real life, but it captures kind of that middle ground.
Right.
So it's really a cool take on it. And it's a good show.
Yeah. So I've got just started watching the new season. There's only a couple episodes in so far, but of the new installment of Fargo.
Okay. Chris Rock's in that. Yeah.
Yeah, baby. I love Chris Rock.
Killer so far, the first two episodes. I have been a huge fan of every installment so far.
It's the Fargo universe, but every season has nothing to do with the previous, right? It's like what they call it, anthology series, where
it has
the name Fargo, but it's a new story every year.
Right. I think it shares storytelling elements and like
beats, like similar, but it's different.
But it's I don't. And as far as universe,
but season
I don't know
one
that
and season four have nothing to do with each other.
Right. Yeah. Right. As far as I know, you know,
and maybe they tied all together.
I doubt it. The only one that's ever had any connection was like season one, tied in to the movie. There was a tie-in with the windshield scraper, and then there's always like an element. There's like some element that carries forward, like the Minnesotan accent or some type of storytelling. And it's usually there's crime, there's murder,
humor,
unjust,
dark humor.
Yeah,
it's kind of dark. It's Coen, like kind of the Coen brothers.
Yeah, because the Coen brothers are executive producers. They have been on every season.
So season four is Chris Rock's the. Is
yeah, he's
crime?
One of the he's
is
one
it...
of the main characters. It's set in 1950 Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah,
and it sort of traces the gist of the story. I mean, again, it's only two episodes in. The next one will be this weekend, but the gist of it is kind of tracing the arc of the criminal underground from family to family of like the you know like the Jewish family to the Irish family to the Italian family to the African American family, like tracing that like lineage of like crime in a way. And I mean, that's as much as there really is on there so far, but like the writing on it, as far as like the dialogue and the characters is so interesting. And it's all so far, all the Fargos have been directed and all created for TV by Noah Hawley. Who's the same guy that did Legion.
Okay.
And which Legion was one of my all-time favorite TV shows, I think. Is super crazy, weird, psychedelic, and like in your brain.
Yeah.
But like really, really, really interesting to me.
Well, like X-Men on acid, right?
Yeah, like literally that would be the exact way of describing it. I mean, like there are some episodes where you're like, you feel like you're watching it being on like a psychedelic or something.
Yeah.
But so that's really good. And and then I think I mentioned it earlier, but on a sort of lighter note, that Echo in the Canyon was a really cool, like if you're into music and that time period, that was a fun one to watch too. So
mm-hmm. Yes, folks, check out those shows. Right now we're gonna do our fake ads.
Oh snap.
I'm gonna
Ian's
do
pouring a beer. I need a beer. So Dullness kicking it off.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
He doesn't have one planned either.
I do. It has to do with KOA. Have we mentioned KOA before? Have we mentioned it? Okay. So KOA, the place where you go when you're not quite ready for camping. Like, people think it's camping, but it's not really camping.
That's true.
Like, I don't know. It's camping for people from the suburbs.
Practice camping.
Practice camping. Yeah, it's like you're...
When you want to practice camping.
Yeah, go to KOA. I don't know.
But you still want... When you want to practice camping, but you still want slides.
You still want slides, and you want people like...
10 feet away from you.
Yeah, they're super close, and...
It's like when you want to practice camping, but you're scared of the dark.
Yes, exactly, because they have lights everywhere.
Let's get that on their billboard.
Mm-hmm. Are you scared of the dark? Are you scared of the dark? Come camp with us. Bears? There's none of those here. This is not the real wilderness. I don't know. That is my fake ad.
My fake ad is for Mount Telemark. Not really a mountain, but it is a good place to go get high or stash a body.
How do you follow that, James?
Mine's for Phipps Tavern.
Whoa, okay.
Have we done Phipps?
I don't think so.
Even if we have, do it again.
Do you want to just get this whole COVID thing over with? Phipps, we can get you that.
And a lap dance. Yikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why those are your fake ads.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I don't really have any... Like, I feel like it's hard to have... Hot takes these days.
I struggle with this. This is a segment I struggle with the most.
So I'm not going to...
Should we do mild takes?
Yeah.
Dalton takes?
Or grievances.
Dalton takes. Because all my hot takes are
Dalton takes.
Okay. Well, there's a headline that I read that New York, the state of New York, is doing away with snow days because they said like the kids could still... come to school virtually. So like the virtual school thing has eradicated all snow days.
You're not off the hook.
And I don't know. Like that was one of the best parts about like growing up is the possibility or the hope that there might be a snow day, right?
No doubt.
You take a look at the forecast. You're like, all right.
Right.
I think we need like 15 inches for a snow day. This storm looks prime. This is our chance, boys.
I think live life every day like it could be a snow day tomorrow.
Well, but if you that's take a good away, philosophy.
It's kind of like hoping for the apocalypse in a sense, isn't it?
It is.
Like you hope the weather is so bad that the world cannot continue for a day is what essentially what you're wanting in a snow day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but living up here, like...
No, I know. It's a reality.
It happens, like, it happened enough where I was like, oh, it's going to be a snow day tomorrow, like...
The worst thing was wishing for a snow day and preparing. You'd be like, oh, it's totally going to be a snow day. And then the snow misses you. And all night you're like, oh, shit. And you wake up in the morning. There's like 2 inches of snow. And you're like, oh, school is on. And you will be there. And you're just like.
Oh. You come to school all pissed off.
Right.
Don't talk to me, Greg.
Right.
That's where I would just
be
like. I was
not prepared for this.
Parents, yeah. I was banking on a snow day.
I had
and
this
we
all planned.
We didn't get it. So I have the flu, right? Can I please have today off? They'd roll with it.
So, yeah. I feel like snow days were part of the best part of growing up, though. Or like one of the best parts about being in school and just having...
Except
living
for
in the Midwest.
The 40 below, like you can't go outside because you'll freeze to death.
Like a legit
for the bus.
Snow
I'm talking
day.
Legit.
Snow.
Because it's snow, not because it's like
we get
you live
snow
in
days,
Antarctica.
We get like freeze day or whatever you want to call them. I don't know what they...
Frozen
it's still
days.
A snow
I'm not
day,
sure. Yeah.
But they call them snow days, but... Mm-hmm. Those are like scary because you can't go outside.
Yeah, you can't even play, like, you can't have a snowball fight, can't go sledding. Yeah. But like a true snow day where it's like,
it's just,
let's say it's like 20 degrees, but you just got dumped on and then you can just go do stuff.
Yeah.
Make the most of it. That's my cold take.
Hot take. It just popped in my head. Taffy, suck it. Taffy's stupid.
The candy formerly known as taffy.
Taffy. Like Laffy Taffy.
Stuff sticks in your teeth and tastes like wax.
Do you sell taffy here?
Yeah, I'm looking at some right now. I did some total association. Yeah, we sell this product at my shop, and I hate it. I think it's stupid.
If you just looked at an object in the room, I would be like, my hot take is chairs. Just stand, motherfucker.
We're earning that E. We're earning the E.
Yeah. I feel like that was a Samuel L. Jackson. Like,
yeah.
He said that in a... Just stand.
Who needs chairs?
I saw a thing that said, and I agree that the next like debate moderator should be Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh my gosh, dude, not take anything.
You're not putting anything past him.
Yeah.
I guess my hot take to be slightly political is to say anyone that heavily identifies like their hobby is being in politics, like they're going to rallies and like find something else to do, like invest in your community, play fantasy football, grow weed, do whatever you gotta do.
Like, those are your three options.
That's all you have.
Wait, I was just talking about myself.
These are my three choices.
Just don't, your identity shouldn't be what party you. That shouldn't be like your day one when people like, what do you know about so-and-so? It's like, well, the first thing they shouldn't say about you is like
their political affiliation.
They're very political. Yeah. Like go out there and do other stuff. And then I think that's something you can be. I'm all here for like being an advocate for things and fighting for what you believe in. But if that's like your day one, like your whole Facebook profile or whatever, like everything you do is revolved around your identity is who you are going to vote for. It's like, I think there's better ways. So my hot take is just don't, your vote's going to count. You can, but I just don't let it be your life. Mm-hmm. Like just
kind of
take a back seat.
Right.
Yeah. I read a thing today that kind of stuck in my brain too, because I think it's important to be able to talk about politics.
Oh yeah.
Because the one thing
without getting upset.
Right. Like, right. Yeah. Cause
nuclear. Cause I can, like
everyone has a lot of different opinions on stuff. And that is what we're here for.
That's America.
That's really what is America.
It used to be.
It shouldn't be that you tear each other's throats out, but it was basically saying that like, no matter who's elected, and however unjust or whatever it may be, your neighbors are still your neighbors. The people in your community are still
you
share that. Yeah, that's what it was.
Well, somebody our
some
podcast,
random person.
Our podcast producer and loved human Dalton.
But no, it stuck in my head because
life goes on after the election.
Well, right. And ultimately, people in political office, like I think that's a big thing is regardless of how all this plays out, is that we need to recall that the communities that we live in are built upon the people that are in them, not necessarily the big person, and which is one of the sentiments in that statement. So, it's fair to disagree, and you should disagree with people. They have different opinions, and that's great. I mean, that's a big part of what it's all about is the ability to disagree and even be angry about it, and that's fine. But like to find ways to overcome those things or to allow those situations to exist and yet still work together for the common good of everybody around you. Because ultimately either candidate or whatever lives in a slightly different world. It lives in a pretty different world than any normal person.
Right.
And so like, we still need to take care of each other because like you might disagree on certain policy things, but really we're all in the same boat. Unless you're a billionaire.
Right. Well, we're still going to show up for each other. Like, when you see somebody going through a tough time.
Especially us being a community podcast, like we're all in the same community. So like the people that are, we're going to see those same people. It's regardless of the results of wherever side you're on. Like,
and that doesn't mean you shouldn't, mute your opinion either.
No, but you shouldn't have to censor. My hot take was just saying like,
no,
it shouldn't be your calling in life.
Your identity.
Right.
Your identity shouldn't be
your identity should be yourself, like whatever, like it shouldn't be like. I just see people riding really hard for whatever.
Well, candidate. I think anyone who's too involved on one party or another, it's like, again, their choices and their,
and your mind can be 100% made up on who you, wherever you are, but I just don't understand the like going above and beyond, like
right.
fighting and protesting and.
Well, because neither candidate, neither party in any situation, well, neither of them is 100% correct or accurate. Like
no,
at
not
best,
at all.
They've got part of the equation right. Even if you're, you know, even if you agree or whatever.
But also, like it's
they've only got part of the problem. You know, only part of it.
So I don't know. It's just keep an open mind and
be kind to one another.
Be kind. That's the message we always preach. That so. Mm-hmm. Well, that was serious.
Hey,
do we have anything
we can talk stupid shit about?
We
had to fucking say something about it.
Yeah. I mean,
we said nothing about like the extreme tension for months.
We are doing the day after election podcast and that's
where we will go.
Right.
We'll go live for that.
Crazy.
Gosh.
And, yeah.
No,
but for now we're going to be PC and
I mean, it's good to talk about this stuff because I don't know.
No, people don't. I think people in our age group or a lot of us, like we, whether we lean one side or the other, it's like, we don't want a war. Like we hate how far one side is from the other. Like we're kind of like, no, isn't there some common ground?
Mm-hmm.
So that's all. Like, I think all young people are kind of, I hope are like,
well, and the thing about it is, like, again, living in the different worlds, like the big parties that run this stuff, they live in a different world than the rest of all of us
people
that aren't.
A lot of people don't realize that there's like, it's like a lot of these things don't relate to our economy or where
your right, small
your
town or
yeah, like the day to day life of real people who don't make $100 million a year,
but they're passionate about it. It's like, well, I don't know how passionate you can be about something that's actually not affecting your community.
Right.
But I get it. It's your right. So go vote. Like that's the
go vote, be kind, and yeah.
We'll and do don't play Monopoly.
Don't play Monopoly. Come on.
You'll get stabby.
Yeah. Very stabby. All right. Thanks for tuning in to this week's podcast. We appreciate you guys listening to the show and being supporters. You guys be well.
Thanks for tuning in to the latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast. Feel free to like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on Apple Music and Spotify Music so you know when our latest episode of the Northern Nerd Podcast is coming out. That about does it for us, so continue to be kind to one another, and we'll see you around town.